Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So, if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to info@morelifechurch.com. Now, enjoy today's message.
So today we're gonna continue this idea about loving our church and why I love my church and why you should love your church too. Here's the thing about church. Church is an interesting idea because it's God's idea, number one, but it's interesting, number two, not only because it's God's idea, but it's interesting because it involves people. And people are weird. Aren't people weird? How many of you know someone that's weird? Yeah. How many of you are related to that person? You know, everybody's weird on their own. Here's what I want to talk to you about today. I'm gonna ask you to get a pen and get a piece of paper and write it down. And if you're new school and you grab a device, I'm going to encourage you today, don't use the device. Just today, don't use the device. I'm not against the device. I like the device. But here's what I have come to understand and realize, that the more you can get your brain connected with your body, the higher result of you retaining that information will be. You'll have a greater likelihood of remembering what you write down versus what you'll text down or what you'll type down. And so that's, science is showing us all that stuff. And for years, that was my mode. Even though I had access to typing things, I would write it. And when I would write it, I would remember it. And so that greatly will help you. So write it down. There's pens in the pocket. You can grab a piece of paper and write some of these things down. I'm going to kind of give you five reasons. God bless you. That was awesome. That was awesome. I hope he was in the front row somewhere, or she was in the front row, because somebody just got wet in the back of the head. It was a big one. I'm going to talk to you about five benefits to being planted in God's house. Here's the truth. We need people in our lives. We have to have people in our lives, but people are a two-edged sword. They can either help us or they can hurt us. And so many people, they disconnect from people because they've been hurt. And a lot of times the church gets credit for people hurting people. And really, here's the deal. I want you to understand, people can hurt us. I understand that. But God wants to help us. And he's going to use people to do that. And here's the deal. Adversity comes to everyone. Everyone in this room is going to experience adversity. You don't have to pray for it. You don't have to believe God for it. You don't have to wish for it. It comes. It comes just like those bills come every single month. I mean, anybody get frustrated every month the bills just come? Like, I don't ask for them. Like, not on purpose. Somewhere I did along the line. But adversity and challenges come. And you need people to help you get through those difficulties. You need people who know you, who love you, who will constantly remind you of your value and your worth. You need people and you need God's house. And here's the solution. Having deep roots of faith and deep roots of relationship will greatly enhance and help you as you navigate the difficult waters of adversity. Faith and relationships are what are going to get you through those difficult times. And so we're going to unpack this a little bit. In Psalm chapter 92, I'm going to read about four verses of scripture, and I'm going to give you these five benefits for you to write down, okay? Psalm 92, beginning in verse 12. Before we do, let's pray, and then I'll read. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the rest of this time that we have together in your word. And as we look into your word, we believe you to bring us help and life and light for our situation. Speak to each and every person right where they are, right where they need an answer. Help them for their current context of life and situation. I ask you to do this through the help of the Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. If you agree with that, let me hear you shout amen. Amen. Psalm 92, 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. Somebody that is a little bit older, say amen to that. Amen. They shall be fresh. Turn to somebody and say, you fresh. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So he gives us this picture of a tree and what happens to a tree when it's planted in the right spot. And he begins to uncover all these benefits, at least as I see it. And this analogy of something being planted. See, you have to stay planted and rooted and grounded in order to grow. In other words, if you're always transplanting yourself from spot to spot, from place to place, you stunt the spiritual growth process in your life. You have to be locked in. You have to be connected. See, if you're moving from place to place to place to place, like every few weeks, every few months, you're not getting rooted and grounded. You're not planted. And when you're not planted, you can't grow. And so first benefit of being planted, number one, it builds my faith. Being planted, it builds my faith. It's awesome to be able to come into a house of people who you know they've got your back, they love you, they care about you. That's amazing. I've had two really milestone adversity situations in my life. The first one, you know about all, both of them. The first one is when my mom passed away. When my mom passed away, that was such a devastating experience. There was nothing that would prepare me for that. My mom passed away on a Thursday, and people asked me, what are you going to do for the weekend? And I told my wife, I told my family, I said, I'm going to be in church, I'm going to be in God's house, and I'm going to share God's word with the people. And I came that Sunday morning. It was very, very difficult looking back. I don't know how I did it except for the grace of God. But here's what I know. When I left this place on that Sunday morning, my faith was encouraged. My faith was built up. My faith was strengthened because I was around a bunch of people who loved me, cared for me, supported me, and was going to be there for me no matter what. And I'm telling you, when you aren't in that environment on a regular basis, I love you enough to tell you this, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. At some point in time, you're going to have a spiritual need that you need to make a spiritual withdrawal on. But if you've not been making those spiritual deposits, it's going to come back empty. It's going to come back without any life in it. That's why you have to regularly be planted. Be planted when it's boring, when there's nothing spectacular going on in your life. That's the moment when you can create relationships that matter, to get deep roots of faith. You know, you see, there's this tree in our front yard, and it's really, really, really massive. It's really, really big. And here's what I know. The roots are really, really deep. But that didn't happen overnight. Storms came. Snow came. Rain came. Sunshine came. There was good times and there was bad times for that tree. But that tree just kept on being. Kept on letting those roots grow way down deep. The second milestone adversity I had was I had a heart attack 4 days before my 36th birthday. It was a Wednesday. I remember it. I remember it really, really well. And that Wednesday, I was a life-altering situation. I got out of the hospital on Friday. We had a big service planned for Licking Valley. We were going to do one combined service at Licking Valley High School. And I said, I'm not going to miss that service. In fact, I'm going to speak to the best of my ability. And I'll tell you what, you guys endured it and you were patient with me. I know it was probably one of the worst messages ever. It was just difficult to go through. But here's what I left being. I left being encouraged. I left with my strength built up. I remember walking out from behind that curtain on that theatrical stage. And I walked out. I remember the very first words that came out of my mouth. The very first words out of my mouth were, I don't know about you, but I'd rather be here than the best hospital in the county. And it was true. And I left. I have one regret. I have one regret about that Sunday. It wasn't speaking. It wasn't going through the effort. It wasn't any of that. I have one regret about that Sunday. If I could do it over, there's one thing I would change. I wouldn't have worn jeans that were as tight as those were. They had just done a procedure in a fairly sensitive area of my body. And I had these jeans on that were too tight, and I sat down, and I got home, and it was bad. It was really bad, you know? That was dumb. But I left with my strength being built, and here's why. because I did what I needed to do to get into the house of God, to be around the people of God. I want you to know something. I want you to know that culture right now is telling a whole bunch of lies about us and about you. Culture is telling lies like Christians are out of touch. Christians are insensitive. Christians are judgmental. Christians are overly critical. Listen, some Christians are, but I want you to understand something, that the enemy is working overtime to shut down the voice of God's people because he is scared to death of what a house full of Christ followers will do to influence a generation to follow Jesus Christ. I appreciate all three of those hand claps. They were awesome. I'm overwhelmed. But he's working overtime. Why? Because he knows that when we get together, we'll be built up. You know how many times I hear, I don't go to church because church people are hypocrites. That's dumb. That's like saying, I'm not going to go to the gym because there's overweight people there. They're at least working on it. I got a whole other excuse of why I don't go to the gym, and it's a real excuse. It's genuine. You want to know what it is? I'm lazy. I don't want to go. I hate it. Like, if that's the way you feel, then say that, but just don't come up with some baloney, phony answer about making you feel better, about justifying your stagnation and your lack of growing spiritually. Don't blame somebody else for what you're responsible for. Isn't that what we need in our nation? Isn't that what we need from God's people? Just a big dose of responsibility bearing? Just someone who say, I'm going to be responsible for my own life and not blame somebody else for my challenges, not be overly sensitive about every little thing that comes up against my world. You know, like, oh, well, I'm going to blame, my daddy didn't love me enough. My mommy didn't love me enough. Well, you know what? They maybe didn't, but that's got an expiration date. And that expiration date is the day you come into Christ. That's all changed and over, and you get a brand new life. That was better preaching than you responded. I'll just tell you that much right now. It builds our faith and encourages us. You know how many times people leave out of here and they say things like, Josh, I felt like you were talking straight to me. I'm like, yes, you were. I didn't know anything about you, but you're the one I'm going after. Why? Because you're the one that's here. Wouldn't it be crazy if I preached a message for people who didn't show up? That's silly. It's for us to be built up and strengthened. Number two, benefit. You ready? Number two, it gives you a place to belong. It gives you a sense of belonging. The second benefit of being planted is it gives you a sense of belonging. And here's what I want you to understand. You don't belong just because you attend. You can be in this house, you can be in this place, and not have a sense of belonging. You don't belong just because you attend. But when you have a sense of belonging, I'll tell you what, it'll ramp up your attendance. And I hear this all the time, and I'm going to give you the best help that I can give you. I hear young people over and over say, I don't know how to meet people. I don't know how to make friends. And it's genuine. And I'm not criticizing that. It's like, they're like, I don't want to make friends in certain areas because I think they know instinctively, intuitively, that person's not going to help me get from point A to point B. So I don't want to go there and make that relationship on that foundation that I know isn't going to really sustain me in my life. I want a good place, but I don't know how to do it. And I love that we have a house where people are forming relationships and friendships. There's one couple in our church, I saw it on Facebook. They invited a bunch of families to go to the zoo with them. And they went for free because the company was involved or whatever, but a whole bunch of people got invited to go to the zoo. I was like, that's awesome. Then I thought about it. I'm like, hey, I didn't get invited. I got children. We like animals. We like free stuff. Where's my invite? See, look how easy it is to kind of have a pity party for yourself and feel bad about your situation. How about this? How about you create an event that you invite people to and get them there? It's free last time I checked to go to Black Hand Gorge. It's free last time I checked to invite people to come over and sit in your living room. Don't feed them nothing, but just invite them over. You know what I mean? But a place to belong. And you know, we've heard this before. I've heard this before, and I just feel like I have to speak to it. It hasn't been lately. I'm not mad at anybody. I never do that. That's one thing I've never done. I've never preached angry. I think that's so unhealthy and so unhelpful. You know, I'm not mad at anybody, but I've heard people say, like, well, I had a really big need, and Josh didn't come, and Josh wasn't there. So I think the goal isn't for Josh to be there. I think the goal is for Jesus to be there. He's the one that's really going to help you. Yeah. Like, there's just not enough love in this church because every time I have a need, you know, Josh isn't there. And I'm like, wait a minute. I loved you so much. We created a whole team of people who will go and be there when you need someone to be there for you. I think that's even better. Because yeah. See, like next weekend, I'm taking next weekend off. I'm not even going to be here. And I didn't ask for your permission. You don't ask for mine when you leave. Why are you going to be gone? Because it's my wife and I's anniversary. That was for her because she's awesome. 19 years we would be married, half of my life. Some of you have been married 2 years. You're like, oh, my God, is it half my life yet? Oh, my God. Why do we do that? Because our marriage is a priority. And we're going to take time away. But there's people who are equipped to help and do things that aren't me. And here's the deal. All of those complaints, I'm leading to this. I used to view complaints as a negative thing. But I'm going to give you the best help that I know how to give you when it comes to finding your place for belonging, okay? The Bible says this. Without a vision, people perish. Without a vision, people perish. And every time vision comes, here's something that accompanies vision. You ready? Complaints, challenges, identification of areas and gaps that you're just not quite getting the job done. So it's true, without a vision, the people perish. But without a complaint, the vision will perish. So here's what I need you to see. Your complaint, your frustration, your challenge, where you see things that can be better, that is a step toward God showing you where you belong. Because you have insight into an area, you have thoughts about an area that probably no one else is going to have like you have. So if you have a complaint, good. Help us grow and expand the vision and fill that thing and step up into your place of belonging. See, you can't do that unless you're planted. Otherwise, you're just taking pot shots from the sideline and not helping anybody make things better. I'll give you an example. My friend Kevin, he no sooner finished his job as the campaign director. Actually, he wasn't even done yet. Wasn't even revealed Sunday yet. And he's calling me. He's like, we got some gaps here, Josh. We need to address some gaps.
We need to work on some things because things just aren't exactly the way they need to be.
And in my brain, I'm like, hey, dummy, just finish the first job you were given, then we'll talk about that one. But then I rethought it because he's a lot bigger than me and he could pound me into the concrete. You know what I mean? So, like, you don't say that stuff. What's the deal? When you see something in your own life, if someone brings a complaint to you, don't get upset with that person. If you're in a certain position, see, if you come to me with a complaint, I'm going to tell you right now what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn that thing back around on you and say, hey, help me fix that thing that you see because I can't do everything and I can't see everything. A place to belong when you're planted. Number three, it helps you to become all that God wants you to be. I kind of covered that one just a little bit, so we won't. It helps you to become all God wants you to be. That's number three. It helps you become all God wants you to be. I said enough about that. Number four, it teaches us to be, being planted teaches us to be generational thinkers. Being planted gives us an opportunity to be generational thinkers. So we're working on this expansion project, and CS Construction, which is Chad Shoemaker and Mark Coffinball, they're going to be doing the general contractor work and helping us with all those kind of oversight things in that area. and we know them and we know their work, and they brought an architect to the table that I don't know that well. Now, the first things I've seen I really like about them, but I sent them an email, and here's what I asked. I said, will you send me the last three sanctuary renovations, the architect? Send me the last three sanctuary renovations that you've completed, because I want to go on site and talk to the owner's rep or the pastor or the person who was involved and ask them how their experience was with you, because that's a really big deal to me, and I wanted to see. We have a pretty specific need to convert the old portion of what we have into something new. And that transition and the way that looks is a big part of the project, in my opinion. So I wanted to see their real life work of what they did. So Angie and I went on a trip this week and over in the Columbus area, and we saw one of the churches that they put on their resume. We walked through it, and it was more of a renovation than it was a new build, but we walked through it, and here's the point that I want to bring out in that conversation. The man who was walking us through the building, I said, hey, I have a question. What is the median age of the regular church attender here at this church? What's the average age? He said it's somewhere between 60 and 62. Average. Average. Now, if you're in the age of 60 to 62, I love you. I want you to know that right up front. But hundreds of you, I would quit. And only you. I'm going to tell you why. Because this world is comprised of more than one generation, and your generation isn't the only one that needs to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he told me that. And I was like, whoa, that's intense. I'm glad there are hundreds coming in that age group. But we need to have a representation of every generation. Here's why. Because every generation needs to know how to grow in Christ. Every generation needs a relationship personally with Him. You can't have an adoptive by proxy relationship through grandma with Jesus. It's not supposed to work that way. She's prayed for you long enough. It's time for you to do your own praying. You're alive because she prayed for you. Some of us are alive because mama and grandma were praying for us in the middle of the night when we were out doing stupid stuff. Come on, you know what I mean? And so I said, whoa, that's intense in my brain, you know, 60 to 62. The median age in our church is somewhere in the 30s. That's unusual. We have between 200 and 250 children who call us their church home, newborn to fifth grade, somewhere between 200 and 250. That's pretty amazing. But here's the deal. Unless you get planted, rooted, staying stable, you do not get the voice of all of those generations in your life. See, and what happens is you get locked into one way of thinking. It doesn't matter which generation it is. It could be a millennial, it could be an Xer, it could be a baby boomer, it could be the great generation, it could be any of those generations. And if that's all you have, you get locked into that, and sooner or later, that's what you become, and that's all you see. The problem is there's such a wider audience that Jesus wants to reach than any one group. That's why we vigilantly protect the generational thinking principle in our church family. I had one man who was older than me. He's been through dozens of building projects. He came up to me after one of the services, and I was using a certain word that he didn't think I should use. And I said, well, what's wrong with the word? And he told me, and the word I was using was the word risk. I kept on using the word risk, risk, risk. And he said, Josh, don't use the word risk. Use the word investment. Because when it's spirit-led and spirit-driven, it's not a risk, it's an investment. You're sowing seed. You know what I did? I said, thank you, and I changed. I made an adjustment. You know what people who don't value generational thinking will do? Oh, that's old school. He doesn't understand my terminology, doesn't understand my language. It'll just be interpreted. No, every generation needs to benefit from each other generation. Let me give you a little example. Teenagers are going to hate me for just a few minutes, but if you'll do it, you'll like it. Well, maybe just not teenagers. Anybody who's an addict to your cell phone, listen up. When you're going to dinner with people, do yourself a favor. leave the phone in the glove compartment. What's the glove compartment? It's that little thing that opens underneath the dash and it closes. There's stuff in there, you know. Leave it in the car. Leave it in the car. I thought I can just ignore my phone, but I have a problem. And I couldn't put it down. And so here's what I realized. I can't use my phone if I'm not with my phone. That was for me. Students, try this. Parents, try this. Grandparents, try this. We went to my grandma's 85th birthday yesterday. And it was amazing. And I said, leave the phone in the car. And it was like a brief rumble of disgust. But do you know, while we were at that dinner, not one single one of my children said, I wish I had my phone? They might have thought it, but they didn't say it, okay? Generational thinking means, remember life when we didn't have that stuff? Am I against it? No, I'm for it. I use it. I like it. But it doesn't have to be full on 24/7. And someone says, well, what's the big deal? Well, I think the big deal is respect. And there's just something that communicates respect when a person has your full-on attention, even if they're not using it at the time, they know they at least have access to it. You know what I mean? My kids and I, we were on this generational thinking. I was so proud of them. This was so awesome. Jacob and Audrey went to the doctor. I took them to the doctor. They're fine. It was just kind of a normal checkup. I don't normally do that. I hate that stuff. Make you fill out all those forms, and it's just a total waste of time, in my opinion. So I made Audrey do it. And so we're sitting there. I was standing because the room was full. The waiting room was full. It was really kind of a small waiting room. And all of a sudden, I see Jacob get up out of his seat. And then Audrey gets up out of her seat, and they come and stand next to me. I'm like, what are they doing? Well, the entrance was behind me, and two people probably in their 70s walked in, and there were no seats available, and they jumped right up out of their seat. I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome. What is that? That's passing on to the generation the fruit and the result of you being planted. See, when you're planted, stuff grows on the limbs of your life, and other people get the benefit of that. Now, there are some situations where I'm not proud of my kids, and I could tell you a story and you wouldn't applaud, all right? So they're not like the golden children, okay? But they did awesome on that occasion, and so we'll take advantage of it. Number four is it teaches us to be generational thinkers. And number five, your life will be bigger. That scripture talks about how that tree was planted and it grew and it grew and it grew. See, you expand your life when you stay planted. It causes you to flourish in areas that you never dreamed were possible. It causes you to grow to new heights that you didn't think of. See, you'll never do all God wants you to do without the help of other people. And doing what God has called you to do always involves obstacles and difficulties. Nothing comes easy. Life is uphill the whole way. You don't kind of just get to the peak and then, there is no such thing, and everybody who is supposed to be in the category that's over the hill will tell you, there's no such thing as over the hill. Not in reality. Life is uphill the whole way. And every time you get through one obstacle, there's going to be another one. And you're supposed to be better as a result of going through that thing, not worse. And the thing that makes it better is the people you do life with, the relationships you have. I need at least four things from relationships. You won't have time to write these down because I'm going to go through them quick. And Daniel's going to come and help me. Four things I need. Number one, I need people who really know me. I need people who really know me. They get me. They know who I am. Number two, I need people who will protect me, people who will look out for me, people who have my back. I need people who will be honest with me because I have blind spots. There's certain areas of my life that I don't see very well. And I need someone to say, Josh, that don't look too good on you. Josh, you're a little bit fluffier than you should be. If you don't have a good friend, at least you could get a mirror. You know, people who say that kind of stuff to you. I need people who will be honest. Why? Because the proverb writer says this, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. What's he saying? He's saying there might be some people that they hurt you, but they're your friends. They got your back. They're looking out for you. Forget about these people who kiss you with all these nice flowery words, and then when you walk away, they just talk a bunch of junk. That's not a friend. That's not what you need. It's not what I need. Who's got your back spiritually? I need people who will encourage me because I have unrealized potential living on the inside of me. Do you realize that I haven't seen my best days yet? And neither have you. He talked about that you would be planted and you would still bear fruit in your old age. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the people who are saying, I was young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. He's saying, I haven't seen my best days yet. My best day is the day I graduate from planet Earth and graduate over into heaven. That's my best day. And every day is a step toward a brighter and brighter day. But that comes with a mindset that says, I'm going to be planted. I'm going to be rooted. I'm going to develop relationships. I'm going to love God's house, and I'm going to love the people in it. There's an old proverb that says this. When you run alone, you can run fast. But when you run together, you run far. That's true in my life. That's absolutely true in my life. Not a big hurry, just each step, one after another. I want you to think about something, okay? You're planted in this house. You're planted in whatever house you're in. You need to be planted. Secure that decision in your mind. I'm going to be planted in a house where people will love me, take good care of me, and have my best interest at heart. Love me enough to tell me the difficult things. Love me enough to tell me the encouraging things. Love me enough to say, man, you did a good job on that deal when nobody else noticed that you had 30, 40, 50 hours in that thing, or 30, 50 weeks in that thing. You had a year of your life wrapped up in it. Isn't that frustrating when you work hard at someone and no one notices? Having people who notice that, having a God who notices it, moves on others. Here's the deal. I want you to think about this, okay? I was gonna have our ushers pass out stickers, but I thought that might be a mess. But here's what I want you to think about. Because if you're planted, see, planted people plant people. Growing people grow people. Saved people save people. Reached people reach people. And found people find people. That's what we do if we're planted. So what's growing on the limbs of your life? And let me ask you a question. Think about a friend, a family member, a coworker, someone you don't get along with. Just think about someone who needs Jesus. I mean, they need Jesus. And here's what I was gonna have you do. I was gonna have you write their name on a sticker and put that sticker on your chair. But just at least imagine that that's what we're doing. And let me ask you a question. Will you give up your seat for the person whose name is on that sticker? Would you give it up for them? Would you let somebody else be planted in your spot? Some of you are like, yeah, that's awesome. Until the day someone shows up and you don't have a seat and you're in the experience of video room, right? What am I getting at? Planted people have an attitude and a spirit about them that says, all are welcome, even if that means I don't get it the way I'm used to getting it. We talked about benefits, but there are people with needs. There are people all over this community, there are people all over in your life that they need Jesus. And I would just challenge each and every person. Think about that person's name, just one. Pray for them. Pray for them until they're planted in some house. It doesn't have to be this house, but it needs to be a house. And pray for them until they're planted. I'm not talking about someone who's in a church already that you think needs to change churches. I'm talking about that. Because there's somebody that thinks that about you. Right? Someone who doesn't know Christ, doesn't have a relationship with Him. And just internally, give them your space. Because I'm going to tell you something. It will do us no good to spend time, effort, energy, resources, lots of resources, to expand this place and have a heart that's closed. We have to have a heart that's wide open. And widen that and enlarge that circle of love. There is no threat to the person who's planted because they know their place. They're rooted and grounded, stable and solid in what God has called them to do and who God has called them to be. I want you to bow your heads with me. You guys are awesome today. Awesome every weekend. I want to pray over you. And before I do that, I'm going to ask, is there anybody in the house? You say, Josh, I don't have my roots in faith. In other words, you'd say, I'm living my own life. I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not a follower of Him. I want you to understand something if you're in that place. If you're not a follower of Jesus, or maybe you'd be the person who says, Josh, I know what it means to grow up in church. I grew up in church my whole life. I know what it means to give my heart and life to Christ. I've done that. But I've walked away for a little bit, and I need to come home. I need to come back to the heart of God. I need to put my confidence in Him again and give Him my whole heart all over. If that's you, on either one of those things, say, Josh, I don't know Him, or Josh, I need to renew my relationship with Him. If that's you on either one of those things, I'm not going to have you get out of your seat, but I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I want to know who I'm praying for. So if that's you right now, just put up your hand and say, Josh, that's me. I don't have a relationship with Him, or I need to renew my relationship with Him. Okay? Thank you. Thanks, buddy. That's awesome. Thanks, my man. Good for you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Gotcha, man. That's awesome. Anybody join these four young people, young men, young women? Man, I love that you're in this house. Thanks, my man. Good for you. Anybody else? That's five. Thank you. That's six. As far as I can tell, all under the age of 20. That's awesome. Any above the threshold of 20 that say, I need to get this thing where it needs to be, and I want today to be my day. Above or below, that's cool either way. Thank you. I see you, young lady. That's awesome. Moving in this place, it's amazing. No greater move of God's Spirit than to draw men and women to Himself. Incredible. I don't want to drag it on, but I don't want to rush either. One last time, looking all over the place. In the video experience room, if you're in there and want to make a decision, someone will see you. I'll lead you in a prayer. That's awesome. Can everybody join me as we pray this out loud together with those who are maybe praying it for the very first time? Everybody in the house, say this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Son. Thank You that He died for me. Thank You that He was raised from the dead just for me. I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Now and forever, I turn from my sin and I turn to Your Son, and I give Him my life for all of my life. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Make some noise for those people, man. I love my church. I hope you do too.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.